Welcome to a special edition of the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Jeff Drew, a senior editor with the J of A, and this is the 8th annual Accounting Technology Roundtable. We are in an age of unprecedented business transformation. At the same time, the pace of change will never be as slow as it is today. So it seems prudent to start this 2019 roundtable with a quick question for our panel. Which of the following technologies will produce the biggest changes in the accounting profession? Artificial intelligence, blockchain, or something else entirely? David Cieslak, what say you?
That one's an easy one. Artificial intelligence.
Liz Mason?
So I agree artificial intelligence will change the face of the profession, but I also think we need to be looking at augmented analytics and advanced analytics.
Ooh, good ones. Amy Vetter, what do you think?
I agree with Dave, artificial intelligence for 10 points.
Excellent. So, all right, so we're off to a good start. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. So for the listeners at home, we will ask some questions, and as I ask those, I'll tell you a little bit more about who the panel is today, but we want to get right into the meat of our conversation. We've got a lot to talk about. Technology is just continuing to change and adapt, and it's basically kind of going crazy. So we will try to keep this as sane as possible. And so we will start with someone who I find very sane. So, Amy.
You might be a party of one.
Maybe. So maybe it's just all perspective.
I don't hear Dave chiming in.
Oh, your time's coming. Don't worry. Yeah.
Well, Amy, you've seen the accounting profession from about as many different perspectives as anyone I know. In the beginning, you started your own accounting firm. You've held top sales and executive positions with major accounting software vendors, Intuit, Intact, and Xero. Now you're speaking and consulting as the founding CEO of the B3 Method Institute. Oh, and you've also written two books and even owned a yoga studio. So obviously you're very familiar with change. What are the biggest changes you foresee for the accounting profession in the next 5 to 10 years?
I see a couple of changes that are on the horizon. So obviously technology has helped to make this shift in what we're seeing. So what we started off with, talking about artificial intelligence and a bunch of new types of ways to deliver services. But because of that, one of the things that I think is really changing are the job descriptions of a future accountant or someone that works in an accounting firm or works in an accounting department in a corporation. So there's a lot of talk about, in quotes, non-CPAs, and sometimes that's seen as someone who went through accounting and didn't get a CPA, but in today's discussion, that's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about cybersecurity. I'm talking about privacy experts, systems experts, because one of the things that's made a big impact is that when the data starts feeding in automatically, we have to test the systems and make sure we're comfortable with how that data is feeding in and how secure that data is, and clients feeling secure about us having that data and our firms and companies feeling secure. So, you know, whether it's blockchain, robotics, whatever it is, to really start picking out what are the things that really interest you and start building a learning plan beyond the typical CPE, you know, the things that you have to keep up as far as regulation, but what are some new skill sets that you want to take on because, you know, into the future, you want to make sure that you've got a roadmap to your future position.
Okay. Well, roadmaps are good. We don't want to get lost. So, now Liz, you're the youngest on the call. Have you ever seen an actual map? Or has it always just been like digital? So
quite funny. I'm really adept at reading maps. Thank you very much. You can drop me anywhere in the world with a topographical map and a compass, and I can find my way out.
That does not surprise me. I mean, you are a rock climber. I almost forgot about that. So, but yes, you are resident CPA rock climber.
And also, you found Google Maps count as maps?
No, I figured you knew Google Maps because you're like millennial and stuff. So, but the firm you founded in Helm, Liz, which is called High Rock Accounting, which, you know, you're a rock climber, so it makes total sense. And, but you're also known for riding the leading wave of technology in the accounting space. So, what I wanted to know from you is what technology are you most excited about and why?
So, Jeff, as a giant nerd, this question is very difficult to answer in a concise manner. So I'm going to break it down into three different pieces. So internally, I'm really excited about this concept of automated data entry, of code-free accounting. We've seen technology evolve over the last couple years to increase the base level efficiency of my team alone by 40%. And I'm excited to see what happens next. And I believe the machine learning algorithms are only getting started on how that will make our lives so much more efficient from that client advisory and client accounting services perspective. Second, looking into advancements that are occurring outside of accounting, but in related industries, I'm extremely excited about natural language processing. So the concept being that you can read contracts via a robotic automated tool and pull out the information that's important to us. So for example, in insurance right now, there's a company called Risk Genius that has been building this tool to analyze insurance contracts and be able to pull out all of the different clauses in there, the financial points about it, and everything, the deductible, the coverages, all of the key important information about the contracts for you and analyze it in an intelligent manner. If you take that ability and you apply it to accounting, could you imagine the implications of recording GAAP transactions? I mean, think about how many hours people spend on M&A transactions alone just to get the journal entries right. If we could have a tool that did that for us, it could be amazing in terms of any kind of financial contract. And third, I am stupidly excited about advanced analytics and what's happening in data science currently. The ability to take data not only from historical sources, but current sources that are not only quantitative, but qualitative, and analyze them in real time, plus adding the ability to do predictive analytics on top of it, gives me this nerd excitement that I can't even describe in words, because what it means is that as we move forward, we'll have CFOs with these augmented analytic models in front of them, showing them exactly what's going to happen with predictive indexes so they can make decisions based on math and data. And it's amazing.
That does sound amazing. All right, Dave, you are the only member of this panel who's participated in a prior roundtable. And actually, you were in the first six, if I remember correctly. So this is your first roundtable, however, in your current role as Executive Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for RKLE Solutions. So as you look at the changes that have taken place with accounting technology since the first roundtable we did way back in late 2011, what stands out to you?
Well, first, before I answer that question, I want to just do a shout out to Liz. I'm so glad to be on a phone or on a podcast with a bunch of other nerds. So this is truly a treat, and I appreciate the way you characterized your excitement. So hats off to you.
Well, thank you.
Just thinking about the question though, Jeff. Thinking about the changes that have transpired in the last 8+ years. I think I'm struck by the fact that we're really at a place where firms and practitioners, have gotten to a place where they're appreciating the impact of technology. And I'm thinking it's probably because they've seen the impact it's had in their personal lives. We're all connected to our smart devices day in and day out. Many, many people have, brought Alexa or Google Home into their homes. So they think about IoT. And so they see the impact technology has for them personally. And they naturally then say, wait a minute, am I doing all that I can to leverage that into, my practice, into the workplace? So that along with what I'll just call a changing demographic within firms. And so, specifically, more and more boomers are retiring, millennials are assuming leadership roles, and that can't help but to kind of help push the curve forward and bring that digital mindset to the organization. So I think both of those are having a real positive impact and helping push everything forward.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're seeing some positive signs, Dave. I remember on some of these in the past, especially when you start talking about cybersecurity, it would get kind of scary for a while. So I'm hoping to be as positive as possible this time, though the next question may take us back a little bit.
Well, and Jeff, to your point, before you ask the question, cybersecurity is still horrifying.
Yes.
So, just, but that being said, go ahead. Let's keep going, because I know that'll probably come right back up again.
Yep. All right. So I've got another quick question for the group. Actually, first, I've got a quick question for Amy. So, Amy, are you a nerd? Would you call yourself a nerd?
I'm a yogi.
You're a yogi. Okay. All right. So we have three nerds and a yogi.
But she's a super nice nerd, and she's allowed at this party.
Yep. So, all right. So maybe I'll use that as the headline, three nerds and a yogi.
It's a great podcast.
Yep. Okay. All right. I've got another quick question for the group. Where does the accounting profession stand when it comes to technology? Ahead of the game, on the right track, or not where we need to be? David?
Oh, this is a trick question. I want to make sure not to get snared on this one. So I would say, on balance, I think we're on the right track. But that really is on balance, because I still think for smaller firms, or those that have an older demographic, those that are really still largely rooted in traditional or legacy services, we'll call them, whether it be tax prep, write-up, those are the ones that are trailing. And maybe they still find themselves largely in kind of a survival mode. And all the while, they may not be appreciating that's diminishing, the remaining value within their organization. Larger firms, on the other hand, or those that have younger leaders, are definitely, moving forward. We find that those, are understanding, the role of new services, basically opportunity that technology presents, and really crafting, their service offerings around that, a real value-based offering. So, again, on average, we're moving forward, or I think, we're on the right track, but practitioners really need to ask themselves, where do they fall? Are they legacy, trailing, or are they, younger and future-based?
Speaking of younger, Liz, what's your answer to the question?
I think we're way behind. I believe that there are new technologies out there that people aren't even talking about. I believe that the large firms have great big budgets behind this, and they're making utilizing these newer techs a priority, and they're working very hard to implement them across the board, as David noted. And I believe that there are some young firms that are pushing the industry forward, or I should say pulling it, if you're looking at a tech adoption curve. But I believe the majority of firms are behind. Even firms that think that they've adopted cloud-based technology, in my opinion, have not fully integrated cloud-based technology.
Okay. Well, I'm going to come right back to you on that, but I want to get Amy's answer.
I think it's a mix. So I consider the technology companies part of the accounting profession too. So I would say the technology companies are on the right track, if not really pushing where technology can go for the accounting profession. It's the adoption piece, again, based on size of firm, but I would say the other segment that sometimes doesn't get discussed, that maybe even further behind than accounting firms, are the corporate side of accounting. And I have found that a lot of these corporate accounting departments are stuck in very antiquated technology because budgets can't get approved for them to actually upgrade or get to the cloud, or maybe there's not a, they've homegrown software, so it's hard to make that transfer. And where corporate accounting departments are sometimes looked at as a cost center, where they've got to start figuring out how to start justifying the budget spend for more efficiency, number one, but to be able to be more proactive in the organization. So I guess I see it from a three-prong answer.
Yep.
So I completely agree with you, Amy, in that corporate accounting departments are probably the furthest behind because of that. And companies are not making accounting a priority again because it's overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Liz, what do you think needs to be happening within the accounting profession for them to get to a position where you would say they're not behind?
I think if you're looking at the firm level, I think every single team member, every partner, every director, every manager, every senior, every staff needs to be thinking what technology could do to help them. They need to change their mindsets from this is the way that we do it, and I am just going to do the same thing as last year, the old adage of the audit firm, and start thinking about how can I make this more efficient? And we need to actually train these people to have critical thinking skills instead of, we want you to be a robot and produce the same results as the prior year. And so I think that it's a culture shift that needs to happen. I've done a lot of consulting with large companies on how to make their departments more efficient. And one of the biggest issues is redefining roles, because they create these job descriptions and then they're very lax to move them. So they put these people in buckets, and buckets are no longer working from that perspective. So in order to have streamlined technology and efficient processes, you need more dynamic roles and the ability to leverage outsourced people when you need it, when you don't have the expertise internally. So I think from a global perspective, there's probably three large steps that need to happen: efficient mindset and processes. So analyze those processes, map them, make sure you understand what your team is doing internally or externally. Understand how to fix your processes first, and then review technology solutions to help with the issues. And hire the experts when you have to. And then, of course, there's always training and ongoing analysis. As you mentioned earlier, the rate of change is only increasing. So if you implemented a new technology 3 years ago and that company has not released any updates or put any funding into R&D, the technology is already out of date.
Yeah. So, and another thing that I know that Barry Melanson, the AICPA CEO, has been speaking about quite a bit, is his concern for mid-career professionals that are going to have to kind of unlearn what they've done, which you kind of spoke to, Liz, and then learn new skills. And, to kind of help them, which can be really overwhelming to think about, and to kind of help people kind of focus on maybe what they should be trying to learn first. Dave, what do you think the most important skill that CPA should be devoting time to learning or improving this year?
Yeah, and so I think you're right. If you look at it in aggregate, it can seem overwhelming, and daunting. But I would tell, I would say that practitioners need to think about it this way. Just like they're keeping up with accounting pronouncements, if they're responsible for generating and financials or signing off on those, or keeping current with tax law, there needs to be a deliberate and a purposeful approach to technology, understanding not only what's coming, but what today can provide value. So I like the way Liz kind of framed it. It's a mindset on the part of the individual. It's also revisiting roles and responsibilities. And kind of the way we see it and understand it is the ideal individual today is got a combination of technical and digital skills, business skills, people skills, and leadership skills. And behind or underneath all of that is this mindset of constant learning. And so it creates a culture within the organization of, we need to constantly be understanding, what's coming, how it could potentially be, leveraged to positively, impact the organization. But like I said, it's got to be, got to be deliberate. It's got to be purposeful. It has to be something that's worked into, everybody's day to be understanding, kind of the latest and greatest and how that might be leveraged for the benefit of the organization.
So, David, I think you just described a unicorn. If we can all hire unicorns, this world would be amazing.
I got a whole pen out back full of them.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And all of you are you know, you can talk about this in your tech experts, but I know you've probably run across it. You know, a lot of people aren't. Then they're kind of overwhelmed by all this new stuff coming at them so fast. Amy, what about those people listening to these podcasts who are not, you know, as tech savvy as you are? What would you say to them? What should they be thinking and doing when it comes to technology?
So I think no matter what it is, running a business, being a new leader, being a new manager, having to implement tech, anything can be overwhelming as you approach any new paradigm. And what's important is you have a plan. So, you know, if you've agreed upon a plan for a year, 2 years out of like, this is what we want to look like, know what your vision is, but focus on one step at a time. Like, if anything can get overwhelming, if you are looking at everything that needs to get done or trying to jump too many steps to get to the end and to an answer. Or for instance, a lot of times I see these things fail in firms because they're expecting immediate ROI. And it takes a while to really see how this permeates into the organization, how everyone starts feeling comfortable with it, and making sure that you're considering the people side of this at the same time. So there's always fear when these things are being put into place. And when you're doing an implementation plan, you should not just be thinking about, you know, here's the business process, this is what we're going to do, or these are the new services, this is what we're going to do. You have to spend equal time on the people side of the implementation, understanding how they're feeling about it. Now, sometimes there can be some negativity, but if you really dive deep into what the negativity is, you can understand what's holding people back and make just small adjustments that can actually get most people on board. And rather than, you know, there, you know, as much as we talk about people are behind, I think what stops people is trying to move too fast as well. So do it intentionally, do it with a plan, and then know each day, this is what we're doing today. This is the only thing we're focused on. We're not worried about everything else that's coming ahead of us. And we stay really grounded in what we need to accomplish each day without getting overwhelmed by the process.
So the key is kind of to keep moving?
Well, keep moving, but be steady and not get overwhelmed. I think the problem is that there can seem like this huge hurdle we have to get over, new skills we have to learn, new technology we have to learn, new services. And then all of that seems like, oh my gosh, there's no way, this seems overwhelming. And that's the human condition to just step back and say, let's just go back to what we were doing before, rather than being really intentional about each step of the process and not trying to focus on everything that needs to get done, just what needs to get done this week in the plan, so that you make those little steps along the way to eventually get to your goal.
To quote the infamous Walt Disney, keep moving forward.
Okay. So I didn't know Walt. Well, I guess some people think he's infamous. So. I am personally a Donald Duck fan, so I have a weak spot for.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to add to what Amy said in that all of those small incremental changes add up over time. And that's what a great change management plan does. And so she very adeptly described how to make sure people are on board with this. And all of that are things that you have to consider throughout the change and be diligent and focused on your change management plan.
Speaking of being diligent and focused, I'm looking at the clock, so I'm trying to be diligent about our time and our listeners' time, and so I want to be focused on getting us out of here on time. So unfortunately, that means we are out of time for today's podcast. Fortunately, however, we are all going to continue this conversation in another podcast that should be posted soon. You guys are okay with that, I assume?
Absolutely.
All right, well, we will do that. So, listeners, you can find all J of A podcasts at journalofaccountancy.com/podcasts, or on the Podomatic, Apple, Google, or Spotify podcast channels. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to come back and listen to part two of this conversation.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.